So just remembering that the different forms of scientifics that are offered in the word, so you have the mythic form or the made-up history of the first 11 chapters of Genesis, you have the historicals, which is the books of Moses, essentially, and then you have the prophets, is another form, and then you have what's written here in terms of Earths in the universe and the latter level of the writings. So these are all scientifics, and the thing to remember about them is that then none of them are to be taken literally or to be focused on literally, that they are there to support what is spiritual. And so when Swedenborg's describing those states that he's describing there, he's describing in illustration of spiritual realities. And the idea is to always be looking for the spiritual principle that's being expounded and not to get caught up in the factual level of the description. So, yes, you know, the planets or the Earths are representative. They can be taken as such because what's being described is a spiritual experience. So I was sharing in a group earlier about the story of Abraham and Isaac. So Abraham is going to sacrifice Isaac, and what happens in the story is that there's a ram with its horns caught in a thicket nearby, and the Lord stays Abraham's hand, and it's pointed out the ram is there. So the ram represents truth, spiritual truth, or the capacity to think from spiritual principles and spiritual truths. The horns represent that power, the power to do that. And the horns are caught in the thicket, and the thicket represents facts or memory knowledges or scientifics. So when the attention is drawn into the literal elements of the text, it depowers the ability to think spiritually. So the Lord being placed in the ark, the bitumen and the pitch, the image for me there is the Lord taking on the maternal human. So there's a lot of images here that sort of speak to that process. And then, of course, it does say that what this is about is how the Lord made his human divine. And then it sort of says, well, and because you can't get that, we will work with states of regeneration instead. And then it immediately turns to the idea of the origin of truth from good, that truth becoming good, and that being this process whereby the Lord enters the world as the divine truth that's bound. So there's a work which is described as the Lord's process of glorification, where he's putting off the human from the mother and putting on the human from the father. Now, one of the things that needs to be pointed out here is that that whole doctrine, it's not all here in this part that we've read. And the impression might be that he made the human from the mother divine. It's not so. He didn't. That's not the human he assumed in the world and made divine. So the reference for that is Doctrine of the Lord 35. Around that number is a good place to read. What it's about is the Lord put off the human from the mother, and he put on a human from the father. So he assumed a human from the father, and he made that human divine. Now, the important thing is to think of human in terms of manifestation, not in terms of human shape and flesh and blood or finite characteristics. The term human relates to truth, and the term divine relates to good. And that's why you often get the shift that occurs across one number. It'll be talking about the divine and the human, and then it'll be talking about good and truth, because they are the same thing. They're not different things. They are the same thing. So in terms of the word in us, when we come to the text, we take it in, and we clothe it, if you like, or it gets clothed in the finite ideas we carry. person, place, time and space. That's what the word gets clothed in so far as our experience is concerned. Now, everything taken from the world or from our historical faith or from the church that we were born into, all of those things, they all clothe. And this is the pitch and the bitumen that makes up the ark. They clothe the divine truth that sits inmostly in the word. So we then work to remove person, place, time, and space, and we arrive at a spiritual principle. So when we come to the spiritual principle, that is of a different quality so far as its truth value is concerned. And the truth is that idea that we get and begin to work with. That is what's called the truth of doctrine. When you begin to apply that truth with looking to the Lord, looking to work with it to unfold your states and find what it is that you need to work with so far as shunning evils is concerned, what that truth then starts to undergo is a transformation in the sense of we begin to acquire illustration as to how that truth is true. And we begin to see that there is power in that. And that insight that arises is truth from good coming to take the place of the truth of doctrine. And that is a putting on of something more interior, while that exterior view of things is put off. And as the interior thing is put on, that is the human from the Father that's being put on. And so you begin to see that the text is not really a history lesson. I mean, we all know that. The scientifics are there in order to hold and open the possibility or the opportunity to come to see the Lord in a different way or come to see the Word in a different way. And so the human from the Father that is being put on are truths understood from an interior perspective or as they relate to state. And of course, we get the insights as we work with the text. And so there is still a level of ownership over what we are seeing. And through working with the text, eventually the process leads to coming to see that the Lord is the Word. And the Word is the Lord's human. And when we come to see that the Lord is the Word, from the perspective of the receiving vessel, we perceive that it is divine. And that is the Lord's human glorified. So the Lord has never not been the Lord. And so when you're reading about the Lord making the human divine or anything like that, the word making is referring to a process. It's not referring to some kind of transformation of finite substance into infinite substance. It just cannot be done. You cannot make what is finite infinite, right? It's just an impossibility. What it is the making the human divine speaks to the process of putting off the human from the mother, putting on the human from the father, and that being adjoined to good, or that truth being adjoined to good, and that's what is termed the glorification. So when good becomes united with truth, then that truth becomes good. And that is glorified. That truth is then glorified because it has fulfilled its function, which is to bring love into being. So you need to think about this not in terms of transformation, but in terms of supplanting. So the external from the mother wasn't divine. But when a new external was put on, that external was divine. So the external that was from the mother in that sense is made divine, but there's no transformation happening with what is from the mother, what is finite and full of tendencies to evil and falsity. So that is completely put off by the Lord. And that's what you get in the doctrine of the Lord reference. So it's being supplanted with the human from the Father, and that is what is made divine. So the divine human is when good and truth have come together. And for us, it's when we see that the Word is the Lord. Because the Word, and it openly states this in the doctrines, is the Word is the Lord's human. Right? Because it's the divine truth. And when it's seen to be the Lord, it becomes, from our perspective, the divine human. It is glorified. The Word is glorified, right? But there's never been a time when it hasn't been glorified. You know, the Lord has always been the infinite and eternal God. So the whole of the Lord's life was a way of representing in physicality and materiality spiritual concepts, spiritual ideas, spiritual principles in a concrete, natural form, because the human mind had descended to such a level that that is the only thing it could grasp as real, was what is material. But the purpose for presenting everything at that level was to elevate the human mind out of the senses and into what is spiritual. So the Lord's temptations is about the difficulty there is in drawing human beings out of essential corporeal existence, because the Lord's love is a love for the salvation of the human race, and everything that works against that, that's what temptation of the Lord describes. So the Lord has to present things in a way that can elevate us but not violate our freedom, and ensure that what's maintained is an as of self, so that it appears as if we are doing it, whereas it's the Lord himself who is the driver of the whole process. So what you have in the Christian church, what's termed the old Christian church, for which we are all in to some degree, the focus is on a person in history. The new church comes into being when the Word is seen to be the Lord. It's the opening of the inner sense of the Word. That is the Lord's second advent, and that's the new church. And while there is a looking back to history and a historical figure and person, if that remains at the center of our thought, then there's a real struggle to shift over into seeing how these things are living realities in our own life, in our own minds.